Okay, as we return to our seats and get settled in, we are going to go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. As we will be continuing where we left off last week, exploring the spiritual discipline, the holy habit, faith practice known as Sabbath rest. We have spent several weeks exploring the benefits of Sabbath rest and how it is an essential part of our spiritual formation and why we should practice it. In particular, we've done this by just discovering what it is and what it is not. How it is truly a day, as we have read each and every week, for us to live out that promised hope that Jesus gives us from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sabbath, being a gift God gives us and a means of practicing our faith to experience just this, to set aside all the hustle and bustle of the world, all the tiresome burdens of our ever increasingly busy lives, to simply rest with purpose. As we learn through this practice how to rest with the Lord and grow in relationship with Him, something that John Mark Comer perfectly illustrated in his book, Practicing the Way, that we quoted at the end of our time last week, when he tells of an encounter between an 18th century priest and an elderly peasant who would sit alone for long hours in the quiet of the church. When the priest asked what he was doing, the old man simply replied, "I look at him, he looks at me, and we are happy." Sabbath rest is a gift God gives us to do just this. As we discovered, it is a gift. It is an invitation to pause, to reflect on God's goodness, to enjoy His presence, and to enjoy the gift of life that He has given us and the fruits of our labor. As Jesus reminds us that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, it is not an obligation. It is not meant to be a burden or a strict set of rules. It is not about legalism or adhering to rigid traditions that create stress. To make Sabbath an obligation is to turn it into a burden, and it becomes anything but what it was meant to be. And this is something we have reinforced by great links through the scriptures on what it teaches us over the past several weeks. And if you would like to go back and re-listen to or listen to for the first time those messages, you can turn your Going Deeper sheet inside your worship folders to the backside, and there's a QR code that will take you to those messages. It's important for us to understand today with where we're going that Sabbath is a gift, not an obligation. Understanding this fact about Sabbath is essential when we talk about how we live out this faith practice and how we begin incorporating it into our weekly rhythms of life. We also need to be reminded of the other facts that we've learned throughout this series. It is critical for us to understand, particularly as practicingtheway.org says, this practice has the potential to be a before and after moment in your spiritual journey. I was this, but then God did this to me. He transformed me. It is a before and after moment in your spiritual journey. But it will not be easy. Sabbath is radical and countercultural, yet at the same time, its raw power to open us up to transformation cannot be overemphasized. This is not easy because, as we've discussed for several weeks now, it is the opposite of what the world would typically ascribe worth in this day and age. It's the opposite, as it is a day of rest. The Sabbath is an invitation out of the world, its burdens and its sinful systems in which we find ourselves stuck in. It is an invitation out of all the muck and mire to glimpse at and enjoy a foretaste of eternity here and now. A day of rest and not what our culture would like to turn it into. And even we have a tendency to turn it into a day of productivity, because it's not a day of productivity, to catch up on those work-related tasks, chores, and activities that further drain us. It's to miss the point of the Sabbath entirely. Sabbath rest is not our honey-do list day. It's not a gift, or it is a gift, not an obligation. It's a day of rest, not a day of productivity. In a world where your production and output determine the measure of your worth, you, living in a healthy spiritual rhythm of work and rest by practicing the Sabbath, truly goes against the grain of our culture. And in light of this, in being in a day and age that we live in, the Sabbath is a great invitation by God for you to step back and reflect on His goodness. And remind yourself that your value is not determined by what you accomplish, but by who you are in Him. Who you are to Him, His child, invited by Him into His eternal rest here and now on earth as it is in heaven. However, this does not make it any easier, because it's difficult. It's counterintuitive to how we've been reared and raised, and even awkward at first, because it is so radical and transforming to our lives, more like reforming who we are into the image of Christ, as it rubs against the very nature of sin we have been raised in. It's also a means by which we look weird to others. People will start thinking, well, they're kind of weird. They give a whole day to just whatever they do on that day. You know, as we learned last week, this may be what the world sees when they look at us as we celebrate and partake in Sabbath rest. But it isn't what it is. The Sabbath is not a day of nothing. It's a day of something, not just anything. After all, it is a day set apart, holy to the Lord, and it's a day for worship and remembrance of Him. And we are to worship, because it is a day of worship. In keeping this day holy and sanctifying it, we sacrifice it to God. We give our lives over entirely and find rest and joy in Him and His great mercy and provision. A Sabbath rest is a day of worship and honor of the Lord, as we've learned this last week, which led us to another critical truth that we have to understand if we're going to begin to practically apply this to our life. The Sabbath is not a day of distraction, filled with the usual noise and busyness of life, but is a time of actual rest and peace in God. The Sabbath is a time to let go and let God. It is not about doing nothing, and we are to do something. However, it's not an opportunity to just do anything. We must guard our time carefully so as not to be pulled away from being able to rest in the presence of God. And as we put all this together, we clearly see that it is a day of rest. Completely a day of rest. Not a day of just productivity. It is a day of worship, not a day of distraction. It is a gift, not an obligation. And this is what we've been doing the past several weeks to get to where we are today. How do we begin to do this? With everything we are up against in this day and age, how do we genuinely set aside and set apart a day as holy to truly stop, to cease, which is the true meaning of the Hebrew word Sabbath, which we translate into English as Sabbath. This is where we begin, though. With its meaning, we stop. It begins with stopping and ceasing, to cease the daily grind, to clear the overfilled schedule, to let go and let God, and to be in and delight in His presence, to practice what Jesus Himself practiced. As we see repeatedly in the Gospels, Jesus took the time to rest repeatedly and be with the Father. Like in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 through 16. But now, even more, the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities. But He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Then you have just a chapter over in Luke chapter 6, 12. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. One of my favorite moments when Jesus does this is from Mark 1, 33 through 37, showing how radical this was even then. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." In other words, where were you, Jesus? Don't just disappear like that. You're supposed to be here with us. You got stuff to do. We got stuff to do. The point is, Jesus practiced a healthy rhythm of work and rest. If he, the perfect human, did this, would we not need to do it all the more? This is why we see him inviting his disciples to join him in doing these things. Mark 6, 31 through 32. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Stopping, ceasing, finding peace with God, setting aside the world and its worries to be in the presence of the Lord, letting go and letting God. It was the great French philosopher Blaise Pascal who aptly said, "All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone." How then do we begin? How do we truly stop? First and foremost, it takes intentionality. Like all the disciplines, intentionality is key. You must have a plan. And this begins with simply picking a day. If a day seems too long, that's okay, because like all the disciplines, you should start where you are. Maybe a 3 to 4 hour period in a day is where you begin this practice of a rhythm of life that includes weekly intentional rest. Sabbath rest, not just any ordinary rest, but Sabbath rest, rest in the Lord. Maybe it's simply signing up for an hour in a prayer room that I think starting tonight. Some may do that. Some may pick a time or a whole time in a traditional day or time like a Jewish Sabbath from sundown Friday evening to sundown Saturday. Some may choose Sunday because it's a very convenient day because we're already gathering together as a family of families, which is something that you should do on Sabbath, is gather with your loved ones, gather with your fellow believers and worship and celebrate the Lord as we celebrate Easter, mini Easter, every Sunday, as it is the day of resurrection, the day that Jesus conquered the grave and death and defeated death and sin once and for all. Therefore, you may choose Sundays. However, some of you may have odd schedules and need to choose another day. Something maybe midweek. Understanding the Sabbath as a gift and not an obligation frees you to do that. Because it's not about what day or time you choose. It's not about that. It's about that you have that time. Understanding that Sabbath is not just a day, but it's an ongoing life journey of work and rest, healthy work and rest with the Lord. And here's the truth. You can enter this rest on any day ending with a Y. Second, it is key to make it a rhythm in your life. Same day, same time, same bat station. Be consistent. You have to be consistent. This allows your body to get into a habit and form that muscle memory where it just becomes natural so that you begin to anticipate it days before and are more excited about it than a camel on hump day, as the old commercials used to say. Third, it helps to have some kind of ritual to start and to stop. A starting and stopping ritual is so helpful here. And don't get turned off by the word ritual. It's like, ooh, that sounds way too ritualistic. Imagine what could happen if you got into the rhythm of just simply lighting candles, praying a blessing over those in your household, having a special meal as a family, expressing vocally gratitude to God with others, worshiping with others, taking a walk, spending some time with some friends alongside the Lord. Whatever you would choose to do, the key is consistency with how you begin and how you end. Because your body will get in this mindset, you will train your mind, body, and soul that it is time to stop. It is time to cease. To be sure it's done with the mindset of resting in the Lord and practicing the eternal rest that we will receive in the life to come that Jesus has given us. As the book of Hebrews makes clear, understanding that it's about rest. As one writer from Practicing the Way also said, radical countercultural act of resistance to the powers and principalities of the world at war with God and his kingdom of peace. To practice Sabbath is to draw a line in the sand against all external and internal forces that would encroach upon your formation into his image. It is to say, this far you shall go, but no further. Does anybody else get a picture of Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings when I just read that last sentence?
You shall not pass!
I digress. It is to defy some of the most powerful forces known to humanity as an act of non-cooperation done in love for community, for the poor, for the earth, and ultimately for God himself. To do this, we have to prepare for our intentional practice of resting, to cease. We have to prepare. It's no wonder that in the time of Jesus in the New Testament, we see the day before the Sabbath being known and signified as a day of preparation. We see this in John 19:42. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. This is the second reference to this moment of Jesus' death that is first mentioned before in John 19:31, when it says, since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The other Gospels also say the same about the day of preparation. It was a day that they prepared for the Sabbath day to come. You'll not just fall into the Sabbath rest practice without intentional preparation. It won't happen that way. It's too countercultural. It's too radical. The inertia of the world and its brokenness will naturally pull you out of rest and back into the hustle and bustle. How then do you prepare? Here are some practical tips that I believe help. To rest, first, go grocery shopping and stock your pantry and fridge the day before. Prepare your meals beforehand, unless you find rest and enjoyment in God by cooking. By all means, then, make that part of your practice of Sabbath rest. Clean or tidy your living space the day before. Run any errands or pay any bills that have to be dealt with before. Answer all those critical texts and emails the day before. Make plans to meet with family or community and recreate by planning some fun activities for play and delight. Because next in our preparation for rest, we must also get ready to fight. Because this is a fight. And we must learn to say no to the world. We are saying no to the normal rhythms and patterns of life. We're saying no to this world and fighting against the current of our culture, because if we're not ready, if we're not prepared to say no, those currents will suck you under like an undertow in the ocean. Practicing the Way actually explains to say no to one to three of these following things. Your phone, turn it off. Social media. Facebook can live a day without knowing what you ate. The internet, TV and entertainment, shopping, social obligations, sports, weekend work, chores, errands, knowing that that's not a comprehensive list. We all have these things and these forces in our life that pulls us out of the presence of the Lord, that distract us from the presence of the Lord. You have to ask the Lord to reveal to you what pulls you out back into the relentless grind of everyday life. And you need to ask God to give you the strength to say no and to put it aside. You must prepare yourself to say no to the world, but you also must prepare yourself to say no to you. To say no to yourself, to what you think you should do or want to do, instead of ruthlessly guarding your set-apart time with the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I have failed in my Sabbath practice thinking, oh gosh, I really have to do this. And so I go and do it. I'm thinking, it's only a 30-minute task. I'll get it done and I'll get back to my rest. And then after that, I'm like, ooh, that needs to be done too. I didn't clean the grill from the barbecue last night. And before I know it, the day is gone, filled with all these tasks. You have to learn to say no to yourself and even your emotions, your feelings. You may be feeling that you need to do something else. You may be feeling, you know, that something else must happen. But you say no and you guard that time and you make it set apart to the Lord. Because the true gift of Sabbath is finding that time and space to delight in the Lord. As this is what we need to learn to do, is to delight in the Lord. How we do this? How do we practice Sabbath? We learn to delight all the more. This is what we're to do. As the Sabbath day is not a day of nothing, it's a day of something, but not just anything. The late great theologian Timothy Keller profoundly said it best. Because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to be free, to feed our soul with beauty. Echoing nearly exactly what Paul exhorts us to do in Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Sabbath is that intentional opportunity to do just this and to live out what Jesus says in John 16:33. I have said these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And his desire for us that he stated before this in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Because sorrow and pain is inevitable in this life. We live in a fallen world, as the psalmist makes clear in Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. A joy that can be chosen and cultivated day by day, week by week, as we learn to live in a healthy rhythm of work and rest that delights in the Lord and keeps in mind his goodness despite the world's wickedness. And to do this, we delight and we do on the Sabbath what brings us joy in the Lord. We do the things that make us delight in the Lord. We do, as Paul says, keeping whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and worthy of praise in our minds. That could be for some going fishing. For others, it could be a means of just, or it could just be taking a hike in the woods. To some, it may be going camping, taking a nap, having a bonfire of friends. It could be as simply as listening to your favorite worship music or having coffee or brunch with some others. I know for my wife, it's curling up to a heater with a nice book. She loves to read, and that's how she Sabbaths. She reads. I have found this delight in making waffles. Yes, for my family, but also for myself. I love waffles. But also worship and study with others. I've also found delight in sitting on our front porch swing, watching our kids scoot around our neighborhood on their scooters with my wife and my coffee in hand. As worship is key here, though, to delight, we worship, we thank God, we praise God. Because the Sabbath is a day set apart, holy to the Lord, to worship and delight in Him, and we delight in Him through our worship. Once again, from Practicing the Way, and most of this information does come from that book as well as their website. And if you want more of it, just ask, and I'll be more than happy to share it. They say, whether you practice Sabbath on Sundays, Saturdays, or another day of the week, it's essential to remember God commands us to remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. To keep it holy means to sanctify it, set it apart, and dedicate it to God for His special purposes. Sabbath isn't just a day to sleep in, relax, and do whatever brings you joy. It is, but more. It's more. It's a day to worship, to reorient our entire life back to its center in God. It is a day to look at God and God to look back at you and for you both to be happy, to have that deep level of relationship and intimacy with God and to know Him and be known by Him. You can practice the other practices to do this. As we have explained several times these past week, the Sabbath is the perfect time and breeding ground for practicing the other spiritual disciplines, holy habits, and faith practices, especially things like silence and solitude and prayer. Be still and know that He is God and that He is good. If you already have a prayer rhythm, awesome. Continue it on the Sabbath. Use the Sabbath as an opportunity to grow, to practice and grow in your rhythm of prayer. In this, work on planting, cultivating, and growing those disciplines that you find are lacking in your life. And so worship Him by practicing and growing in the other disciplines. Whatever it is you find lacking, whatever it is truly worshipful in your life, whatever allows you to further connect with God, do it. You just got to do it. The possibilities are endless. But in conclusion, of all this time, these past several weeks, discussing this excellent spiritual discipline, holy habit, and practice of faith, that is the final piece of advice I can give to you on how to do that. It's the same advice as the actor Shia LaBeouf gives on his speech about living out your dreams. And I want to give you a trigger warning before this video plays. It can get a little loud and might be a little shocking.
Do it! Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow. So just do it! Make your dreams come true! Just do it! Some people dream of success while you're gonna wake up and work hard at it. Nothing is impossible. You should get to the point where anyone else would quit, and you're not gonna stop there. No, what are you waiting for? Do it! Just do it! Yes, you can! Just do it!
A wise man once said, a healthy, growing tree doesn't dip its roots into the water and soil full of nutrients just once or twice, but it dwells there. It's like those two types of tea drinkers. There's the dipper. I'm a dipper, but when it comes to faith, I've learned that dipping isn't enough. We need to let it dwell and sit. And when people ask, is it done? No, it needs a little more time, a lot more time. A healthy growing tree doesn't dip its roots into the water and soil full of nutrients once or twice, but dwells. So if you want to go deeper, there is an opportunity for you to do that alongside with me and other people in our family of families, as I'm wanting to do the Practicing the Way Sabbath course for anybody that would like to participate in that. Just let me know. And if you want to dig deeper in what it means to stop, what it means to rest, what it means to delight and worship in the Lord and practice this great, excellent practice that both nourishes our bodies and souls, let me know to stop, to learn how to be intentional, to be consistent, forming that starting and ending ritual, to rest, to properly prepare, to get ready to fight by saying no to the world and saying no to ourselves, to delight, to do what brings us joy in the Lord, so that we would worship in prayer and discipline as a natural outpouring of our lives. This is the word of the Lord, and this is what it means and how to begin a practice of Sabbath rest. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. As our worship team comes forward today to lead us in a time of just response to what God's word has brought us today, ask yourself, what is that one more step God's calling you to make today to begin that practice of work and rest, that healthy rhythm of life that Jesus demonstrated for us?